Well, Sharon, here we are.
Here we are. And, Brian, I know you're reading the National Weather Service forecast, but trust us, it's a beautiful day to be on the Cultural Trail. It's a little cloudy, but that keeps it from being too hot for people who are on two wheels.
Exactly.
Or four
if you're exercising,
wheels.
It's a perfect day for it. No,
indeed.
It's actually, you know, this isn't an official forecast, but it's sunny and 70 right where we are here in front of Indy Reads Books, right?
That's the power the art of the matter has, indeed.
So, Sharon, this is a great day. Yesterday was the official ribbon cutting for the Cultural Trail, and today is the big Get Down On It celebration with more than 80 different activities up and down the trail in all the different cultural districts that the trail connects. We've got a lot of great guests coming up here in just a moment, including Brian Payne, the father of the Cultural Trail.
Woohoo!
And we've also got Bill Brooks here from Urban Times. Bill, it's so nice to see you.
Founder and publisher and king of all urban neighborhoods.
And master of space, time, and dimension as well.
Hey, Bill, real quick, we just wanted to have you on because, I mean, you've been following the Cultural Trail, covering it in the Urban Times each month. What does it mean that now that it's finally open to Indianapolis?
Well, it means that for the last 12 years, I've had something to write about. Now I'm going to have to think of something entirely different to write about. So basically, I think it's just a fantastic thing. And looking back on it, I think when I first talked to Brian about it, lo, these many years ago, it sounded like it could happen, but, you know, never really thought it would.
Oh, why?
Well, just because it's just such.
Continuing to write about it. You put
well,
pressure on.
I think it's because I've been around long enough to know what happens when you try to dig up an old inner city. With the infrastructure. I think when I talked to Brian for the current issue, he mentioned that if he knew anything at all about civil engineering when this started, he might not have even tried it. But it's just a miraculous thing. I just recently, this morning, did the march down from here down to the city market with the tech band and the Woodruff Place Launch
Air
Brigade.
Launch Air Brigade was out with the tech band, which was great.
And things are hopping down at the city market right now. And
right.
Slowly but surely, it's becoming more tolerable out there. 70 might be a bit optimistic. Right?
Maybe just a bit.
The day is in full swing. There are activities all day going on through the evening. And did I see you on a bicycle a little bit ago?
You did.
All right.
You don't think I'm going to walk this whole thing, do you? I mean, it's, what is it, 8 miles? And then if you consider going to and from Fountain Square and to and from the East End here, it's 11 total miles then.
Yeah.
You know, I would need new tennis shoes for that.
Or a pony, which just brings me to the fact that in just a little bit, we're going to have miniature ponies here at Indy Reads Books, which is very fun. Part of the activities that are going on today, one of the things here in front of Indy Reads Books, we've got sort of an Old West saloon set up, and we're giving away coffee and lemonade and free books. And we'll hear about that in just a little bit from Jenny Dwenger, our bookstore
manager. Wait a second, though. You're at the east end of the trail, right?
Yeah, well, it's the east end, but it's sort of the Wild West, and it feels like the Wild West out
uncharted
here.
Territory.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
So, well, Bill, thanks so much for swinging by. And you've got a great pirate look. Where'd you get that done? Was that on the trail?
The YMCA booth at the city market, Karen Ogden and her lovely daughter Hannah talked me into this. It took a lot of arm twisting, but
You've got an eye patch and a pirate scar and a bandana.
And a bandana, and I'm supposed to say R, mighty R.
Are you enjoying the trail?
I am.
There you go.
I've been enjoying it ever since they opened the East Corridor, low these many years. How long has it been? Five years ago.
You've had so much fun, you've lost track of time.
For 1 year, Jeannie and I just had to ride back and forth, up and down from the English Foundation
well,
building back to the city
your
market.
Your route is bigger now.
That's right, it is. So we're having much more fun.
Well, go out and have adventures.
Yes, thank you very
Bill
much.
Bill Brooks, our man on the street, or on the trail today, as it may be.
Indeed.
Indeed. And now we have a very special guest. In fact, the father of the trail, the most dignified dignitary of the day.
Fresh from his paternity test. You are the father of the trail.
Surprise, Brian.
I have enough problems with my board of directors. I don't need that.
Just joking, folks. Just joking. Our matter listeners know us. It's okay.
Father of the trail.
Oh, the trail. Trail.
Of the trail. Okay. Of the trail.
Okay.
Brian, I remember, was it a dozen or 13 years ago, or maybe even longer, you had meetings with folks all around the community to brainstorm what the trail could be. But can you take us back to the very beginning? Where did this idea of building an urban trail connecting cultural districts come from?
Well, at the Central Indiana Community Foundation, where I have the privilege of serving as the president and CEO, is we always talk about our job as a community foundation is to connect the dots. And it's because we get a chance to see a lot about the whole community. You know, we're not just like when I used to run the IRT, my job was to, you know, do theater, as your job used to be at the Phoenix. Our job now is to understand kind of the whole system of community. So our job is to connect the dots. I kind of learned that early when I first got hired, and Mayor Peterson appointed me as a commissioner of this new Cultural Development Commission, which was that $10 million five-year effort to make Indianapolis more of a cultural destination city.
Right.
And the big idea that I liked was cultural districts, forming cultural districts like Mass Avenue. And I tried to raise some money and support and wasn't getting anywhere because people said it was disconnected.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Then I was on the Monon for one of my first times, and I loved the Monon. A lot better weather day than this, unfortunately, was the day of the Monon about 12 years ago, and everyone was having a great time. And I thought, well, if the districts are disconnected, let's just do an urban version of the Monon Trail. We knew it'd have to be, you know, highly designed, more landscaping, pavers, not blacktop.
Traffic calming, wayfinding,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Well, I didn't know that much, no. I decided, you know, you just dig up, a lane of traffic, and you build a little little paver thing. And lo and behold, you know, when you saw the construction, you know, it was like 10 feet deep and 30 feet wide.
Sure.
I had no idea we'd cause that kind of chaos. But that was really the idea, is to help the cultural districts become more effective.
If people didn't know this about you already, you've just proven that you're a fine salesperson. Because think about the number of people who did know what it meant to the infrastructure, to the bricks and mortar, who probably lined up at your door saying, no, can't be done.
Brian, you said so casually, oh, just removing a lane of traffic.
Right, right. In a town that was built by the car.
I have some Bill Brooks eye scars from those traffic engineer conversations that we had. I mean, I eventually got some comeuppance, and we definitely made some adjustments. But my ignorance was bliss for a while until I ran into people who knew a lot more than me. But Bill Taft, who's the head of LISC and a great community guy, he was saying, I guess, at the celebration yesterday, the ribbon cutting, that he quoted, and someone texted it to me, that Bill Taft said, did you ever think a thespian from California could pull this off? And, but this thespian
humanities majors can do everything.
That's right. Kids, get a liberal art degree.
It'll change
your life.
You know, you've been really creative as well in the idea that in addition to providing a fine tool for people to get from one place to another, to get, for example, from the east end of Mass Ave up to Broad Ripple or
Fountain Square,
or to the wholesale district, right. But there is an economic factor as well here. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, we
in spending the money to build it.
No, right. We always thought that it would have huge economic benefits. And we studied this. I mean, a Bryant Park in New York City has actually created, and it's New York City, it's not Indianapolis, I get that, but over $1 billion of economic benefit. And the High Line, which is, beautiful. But the Cultural Trail, it's eight times the size of the High Line. Anyway, we started, unfortunately for us,
the High Line in New York City.
Yeah. Sure. We finished the first corridor of Alabama Street, and then 2008 financial crisis hit. But even with that, there's over $100 million of developments that have been announced on the Cultural Trail because of the Cultural Trail. So we're already, we're seeing it. If you haven't been to Fletcher Place or Fountain Square, you can just see the transformation.
Yeah.
And then I'm also very proud that three major, really important not-for-profits have located newly on the trail, including Indy Reads.
That's right.
And Indy Reads books.
Absolutely. And Brian, that was entirely because we knew we wanted to be on the trail. I mean, that was a big part of our business plan, was to make sure that we, put a bookstore that was a not-for-profit bookstore on the trail. One of the people who was instrumental, in fact, in making the trail happen, and it was Margot Lacey Eccles.
Right.
And, in fact, when we first went to Margot about the idea of Indy Reads books, she said, well, it's got to be on the trail. I'm like, absolutely.
I miss Margot Eccles so much. I love her.
She's looking down on us from upstairs.
She is.
Upstairs
she was
today.
Here to celebrate. Yeah. But, you've told me that story, and Margot mentioned that, and I'm thrilled about that, but also Heartland Film Festival.
Right. And they'll be here a little bit later on the show today.
Right.
And 500, yep. The 500 Festival told me that they wanted to be on the trail. They wanted community presence. So anyway, that's as thrilling to me as a lot of the economic development.
So when you go to conferences, and I know you do go to conferences around the country and beyond to talk about the Cultural Trail, what are the top two or three questions people ask you about it?
It's been one of them that kind of surprised me was people wanted to know how we raise so much of philanthropic support for city infrastructure. In fact, Canada is very interested in that. I spoke in both Toronto and in Calgary about this very issue. That's what they wanted to talk about, is how can you possibly get philanthropic support for what is, you know, what is city infrastructure? And the answer to that is we never talked about it as city infrastructure. We talked about it as quality of life and arts and engaging people with culture and connecting them to arts organizations and community health and anti-obesity. And we sold it on all kinds of great quality of life issues. We never spoke about it as city infrastructure.
You didn't see city infrastructure as an obstacle.
No, and we sold it. I'd say we sold it as if we were trying to build a new museum wing or something like that. I mean, that's how we framed it. The benefits would be a better quality of life for all in our community.
But at the same time, you were able to get Department of Transportation money to help.
And we sold it to them about infrastructure.
That's right. For them, it was infrastructure.
When I was talking to somebody, I heard it was all about infrastructure. Yeah.
I love
your audience.
I loved his quote from yesterday where he called the trail recreation and economic corridor, back to the, you know, what's good for your mind, your soul, and your body. There's no reason it can't also be good for your pocketbook and for the city's wallet as well.
Right. Well, no, and we did sell it to everybody as an economic development, because
sure.
You, as you know, as a fundraiser, is that, you know, that's your, you know, whether we like it or not, that's our best pitch.
That's the driver. Yeah.
That's the driver. Is it going to create economic benefit? And especially these days where, you know, everyone's rightly worried about that. So so you always have to find the economic tools to sell your idea. But you know, it was mostly about that we thought we could create a quality of life amenity that would
could
make
you
us
talk
special.
A little bit about the Glick family, because obviously this wouldn't have happened without them. And you know, I've heard stories about how they got involved with it, you know, that they were sort of looking for some sort of, you know, legacy and ended up with this, and
yeah.
It's such a great story.
So, you know, so Gene Glick, you know, he had this idea that he wanted to create something iconic in downtown mm-hmm. that would celebrate great humanitarians who made the world better, but not through being war heroes, but just through their everyday peaceful pursuits, is mm-hmm. the way he talked about it. And I used to talk about how people were being called in like a court gesture to Gene at the what's the cafeteria in Broad Ripple that he always MCL. That, you know, so you'd get there for your lunch. I didn't have lunch before I had lunch with Gene, because it was like 2 o'clock, right? And you're like a court gesture, you know, pitch me your best idea about how to do this, and you pitch it, and it's like, off with your head, that's horrible. And you know, and luckily what happened is, as the trail really got to the point where the idea was evolving, Gene and his team were starting to think that this, you know, they were really thinking of a Space Needle or a
sure.
St. Louis Arch, and they were starting to lose hope that that was going to happen. And so, you know, timing is everything. I mean, we didn't know about it, but we just happened to be able to position this as, Gene, instead of building something 500 feet high, why don't you do something 50,000 feet long that people can use every day, and we'll accomplish somehow, we'll work with you to build in your dreams about acknowledging great humanitarians, which is what the Peace Walk is
sure.
on Walnut Street near the Scottish Rite Cathedral. So, but you know, but it was, I mean, if Gene hadn't started to lose hope about building something 500 feet high, then we wouldn't have had a shot, you know, but it just all happened.
It all came together.
What an interesting game changer, though, to think about the fact that most cities are known by their skyline. They are known by what is vertical and what you can see in profile in a photo. And now part of what we're known for is horizontal. It's flat. You need the overhead shot to show.
A bunch of us were talking about we need to get a helicopter today to see what's going on the
yeah.
trail all
Absolutely.
At once. But no, that's a great point. And, you know, one of the things that I'm so pleased about the trail is that, you know, and we were concerned that this might not have been the case when we first started getting into this, but there's nothing like it. I mean, we are really innovating. You know, the trail is a world innovation. There's
Which,
nothing quite
when,
like
when
it.
When no one's ever done something before,
yeah.
there are really two reasons. It's a brilliant idea that nobody's thought of, or it's a horrible idea that many people have rejected.
Or people have tried it and failed miserably,
yeah,
and
right.
you should have read that article, right?
Right,
So, a good point. But I'm a big believer that we need to continue to push the envelope, and that we'll build our reputation, which we should already have a world. I mean, sure. Sometimes we do, you know, but sometimes people don't give our city the due from other places. It's getting better and better and better.
But Brian, that was the whole theme yesterday at the ribbon-cutting ceremony, was risk-taking.
Right.
I mean, that through all the speakers. I mean, you said it yourself, but we are actually a city that takes some pretty amazing risks.
We always have, you know. And so the cultural trail is certainly not the first. I've had a chance to, some people want to talk about the public art. We've had a couple of public art challenges, if you haven't heard. And that's, and I actually look at that and say, you know what, I'd rather, we had big, big ambitions with our public art. We just didn't do easy decorative public art. I mean, some of it, maybe some of it's a little bit more like that, but we had some big ambitions. And you know what, sometimes when you have big ambitions, not everything works out. And I wanted to have big ambitions, and if we failed on one or two, you learn from it and you move on. But I don't sit there and stew about it.
Speaking of moving on, today's scores of activities are kind of a trial balloon, a test run of what some activities might be in the future. Fast forward 5 years, how do you want to see the trail being used? And is there more public art in your vision of the future? Or what do you see when you fast forward?
Yeah, I see, first of all, I do see, I think it's a combination of just everyday use. I mean, the thing about a trail, you don't need to program it. People will program it themselves. What I talk about is I think more people, it's a great way to get from A to B. I use it all the time to get to meetings. I don't have to drive my car and look for parking now where I have to go for a mile or mile and a half downtown. I just get on my bike and do the trail. That's a remarkable enhancement to my life on a daily basis. But I actually enjoy it more of just saying, I'm just going to get on the trail and go for a couple hours, and I might end up at a brew pub, or I might end up at a park, or I might say, I haven't seen the Idle Jorgs guitar thing yet, and I'm going to go see that exhibit. And you don't know what you're going to do. And you just have this spontaneous urban experience. And I think people are using it that way. They're just going to come down. People tell me, on the weekends, I love to come down and just get on the trail. And I don't know where I'm going to go, or I don't know where I'm going to have lunch. I love that about it. I think there are opportunities for, walk runs and 5Ks. And, there's bicycle criteriums now that are, incorporating the trail, or at least the atmosphere of the trail. One of mine, as a arts person yourself, both of you, I'd like to see a 10-minute performance festival.
Ooh.
Where you buy a ticket. So everyone, I talked to Gary Gensling, who's the new,
sure,
wonderful new CEO of the Symphony, about this at lunch this week. So let's say you have a Saturday when the weather's really great someday in June, maybe.
or later today.
Or maybe at 2 o'clock for half an hour. But the idea would be the IRT, the Phoenix, the Symphony, DK, everybody. In that day, does 10 minutes of performance, and they would,
sure,
do it at noon and 1:30 and 3, and
maybe
and stagger it
all
over the
trail. You don't know what you're going to see. I
actually want to get people into the circle, Hilbert Circle, yep, Theater, for example. But we'd have,
sure,
some outdoor stuff as
Brian,
well.
Brian, when that happens, count us in, because we got a great little stage here at the bookstore.
I love your stage.
We've had something like over 160 events since we opened here. Arts and author readings and children's story time. We had a movie last night, a movie premiere of a documentary about the Nerd Fighters, the kids that are inspired by author John Green.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's that type of stuff. But again, going back to, I don't think that could have happened at a bookstore that wasn't on the trail and part of the trail.
If you had to just drive in for that all the time, yeah, I don't think it would be as nearly as successful.
We had 75 people here last
night. You're brilliant
night,
programmers, so I wouldn't say it wouldn't work, but it wouldn't be as
it facilitates
explosive.
It. Yeah, and that's exciting.
We know that you have lots of stops today, and I know you have multiple two-wheeled vehicles. What are you riding today?
Well, my wife stole my Segway, but I'm good with that because people actually they do it in fun, but they kind of abuse me when they see me on a Segway. It's like, I thought this trail was about exercise.
So it takes coordination to ride one of those. Using your stomach muscles,
right?
I know.
Someone said there's some core work.
I
think it's a stretch. I've got my foot bike today, which is my you could call it an adult scooter or a hybrid between a kid's,
yeah,
scooter and a real bike. And
so you don't pedal it.
You kick it.
You kick it
like a kid's scooter. And
it's pretty cool.
And I can go, in bursts of 15 miles an hour, but I'm probably averaging about 10.
Well, be careful. There's a lot of traffic on the trail.
Yeah,
today.
The only problem with the foot bike is there's no cup holder.
Brian Payne, president of Central Indiana Community Foundation and Indianapolis Foundation, and more importantly, father of the cultural trail.
Congratulations.
Wear that hat proudly.
Thanks so much. Love your show, and it's fun being kind of a Matt Lauer out here today. I don't know. They only fire the women. I don't know who the woman is on today's show anymore.
we probably shouldn't go there. Although it is public radio, we could.
We could. Thanks a lot. It's been
Brian,
thanks for your support.
Absolutely.
We'll catch you at one of the many activities later today.
All right,
and
great.
It's going to warm up.
Okay, good.
Go celebrate.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, Sharon, we've got Jenny Dwenger, who is the manager here of the bookstore, and want to bring her on real quick because it was her idea to bring in the ponies, and I think we need to ask her about that, Jenny. Welcome to Art of the Matter. How are you doing there?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So Sharon's been wanting to know.
Asking about ponies is not normally the first thing I do when I met someone, but this is a special day, so... Ponies, Indie Reads books, a little bit of a disconnect there, so explain it all to us.
Let me pause you real quick, Sharon. I was told by the Agape people that, in fact, the miniature horses are insulted when we call them ponies.
Oh.
And these are not
oh, I'm so sorry.
Particularly
I had no idea.
Diva-esque ponies. They will roll with it, but I have been told... They are miniature horses.
Horses, not okay. This is good to know.
I'm glad someone just covered
and
their
ears. They're here in the parking lot. They're just
they're
adorable.
They're loading out right now.
But,
yeah.
I think they're good.
I want to preface this by saying, a couple months ago, the Cultural Trail sent out a call for grant requests for things to do as part of this Get Down On It celebration. And Jenny said, "I've got an idea," and we're all going, "What are you talking about?" So.
So looking at the call for programs, I had no idea what to start with. So I decided to just start with the date, May 11th. What happened on May 11th ever in history?
Okay.
So as I was looking, I found that on May 11th in 1869, that's when the Transcontinental Railroad was completed out in the Old West. And honestly, up here, yes, this is the Northeast. This is not the West. But... You know, if you're up here, the wind blows differently, the architecture looks different, and the sun is in a particular way that's just not the same as in the core of the city. And so, visually, it just seemed to work. I wanted it to be a very stark saloon front out by the trail where we would serve beverages. We needed miniature ponies, of course. Oh, sorry. Oh, I said it.
Miniature
horses. We needed them.
Because ponies are young. Full-size horses, miniature horses.
Ponies
are
something completely different,
right, okay.
I believe. So we couldn't have full-size horses. We don't really have that kind of room anyway. But I wanted that for the effect. We've worked with this group before, Agape, so I knew that we could do that successfully. And I just wanted it to be a very full experience. The croquet was not part of it originally. That was Travis's idea.
Well, we threw that in there, sure. Well,
Indie Reads follows Travis around wherever he goes.
It kind of does. And Indie Reads Books is a sponsor of this year's President Benjamin Harrison Home Croquet Tournament. So we thought we'd bring them in as well. We've got Art of the Matter here. We've got ponies. It's a big day at Indie Reads Books.
Or miniature horses.
Or miniature horses.
And just going back to the railroad theme, honestly, we're here... We really are here because of the Cultural Trail. There have been many businesses here before, and many have failed. But the reason that I believe we can exist here now is because we have this Cultural Trail that's right out front and is bringing people here to us. So I feel that it is very symbolic. We have this completion of a sort of mini railroad, to go with our miniature horses, that can bring the people out here just like the old railroad towns could exist because... The fingers of the railroad reached out across the country and allowed us to reach it.
And where the railroad went, businesses followed.
Exactly.
So you are a little bit of a pioneer on the East End as well, because as many people know, the Mass Ave had... most people perceive that Mass Ave stopped right around Park, you know, where Yatz is, for the longest time, and then gradually the last couple of blocks up here developed. How do you know when you're in the store, how do you know that people have come from the trail? I mean, is it sort of obvious, or do you just look at your...
Well, yeah, bike helmets a lot. And I ask, actually, a lot of people come in and say these words, "Wow, this is a great space. I had no idea this was here. How long have you been here?" And so I ask, "How did you hear about us?" And a lot of times they'll say, "Well, I was just going. I was on the trail, and I saw you. And so I decided to stop in."
And I want to ask both of you about something something brand new that will help people find you tremendously, your sign.
We're very excited about this. Yeah.
Yes.
And I do just want to remind people, too, that, you know, so Art of the Matter here, we're in front of Indie Reads Books today. Indie Reads Books is actually a program of Indie Reads, which is an adult literacy program promoting literacy for adults and families. And the bookstore is an element of that that supports Indie Reads. And we're so excited that we were able to get a sign on the side of the building that faces towards the west. So if you're coming from downtown, you can see it now. It's a huge sign that we worked with Luann Langton, the artist, and Dick Luden helped to install it. And it's a huge, like a 15-foot tall book that says, Do Good, Read More. It's got the Indie Reads book logo on. It's kind of a real public piece of art. In fact, we were able to work with Indianapolis Downtown Inc. and the Arts Council's Power to Give program to help fund the sign through sort of a crowdsourcing and facade development. And we just put it up about 2 weeks ago, and we are very happy about that.
Talk about the Do Good half of that. The Read More is self-explanatory, but talk about the Do Good half of your slogan there.
Sure. So as Travis was saying, Indie Reads Books is part of Indie Reads. So the reason that we are here as the bookstore is to accept donated books, sell them, and then take the money and give it back to Indie Reads to funnel into our literacy programs, which, you know, we keep expanding things. We've added new programs. So we are trying to contribute to that financially. So essentially, by reading, by buying books, reading more, then you are adding to the cause. You're doing good.
About every $5 you spend at the store pays for another hour of free tutoring for one of the 1,500 adults we're going to work with this year.
There is no downside. There's no downside to that. Travis was telling me before we started our broadcast today, and by the way, you are listening to a rare live Art of the Matter broadcast, live from in front of Indie Reads Books at, help me with your address here.
911 Massachusetts Avenue.
911 Massachusetts Avenue. And we are here to celebrate the grand opening of the Cultural Trail, a.k.a. Get Down on It.
That's right.
Travis was telling me before we started broadcasting that on a typical day you get about how many books
about
donated?
350, 400 books donated.
But
this
lately?
Week with, well, with, you know, people are doing spring cleaning right now. And what is it, Jenny? We're seeing like 1,000 or more books being donated
a
day.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But you have room, so don't let anyone dissuade folks from bringing books down.
Well, you know, it's a feast or famine thing. So right now it's a feast.
There you go.
Thank
That's
you
a good
all.
Thing. Hey, you know what? We should take a minute to thank our sponsor today, because the live broadcast of the Art of the Matter on the Cultural Trail is made possible by Katz & Corin PC, a law firm committed to contributing to the growth and development of the community in Indianapolis, with offices in the historic Emile Building in downtown Indianapolis, which is just off the Cultural Trail as well. And so that's a very, very cool thing. We are thrilled that Katz & Corin is sponsoring our live broadcast
indeed,
today.
Indeed, indeed. And we're going to be talking with Ronnie Katz a little bit later in the day. Jenny, I'm keenly aware that you want to go visit with a miniature horse. Now, it's about, what would you say, about 3 feet tall, maybe? Kind of strawberry blonde. Actually,
yeah.
its hair matches yours.
Yes.
Did you special order a strawberry blonde miniature horse?
They just knew.
They knew?
They Agape is good like that.
Okay, good deal. And, you know, Travis has just stepped away to pet the miniature horse. I was just going to mention that we've been upstaged by a miniature horse. It's always about the animals, but that's okay. Please come down and say hi to us and pet the miniature horse. Jenny, break a leg. Thank you so much for stopping by, and enjoy the extra traffic today.
Thank you very much, Sharon.
Thanks. And speaking of people on the Cultural Trail, Elizabeth Garver, we talked about Brian Payne is father of the Cultural Trail. I guess you're the mother of best chocolate in town, the best chocolate in town. Your exact address is?
It's 880 Mass Ave.
880 Mass Ave. I don't even have to remember the address. My keen hunger for fabulous chocolate always leads me to your store. Now, you were here before the spur of the trail came.
Yeah.
How many years have you had the store?
I've been here about 6 years.
That's fantastic. And what was it like when you did you have your doubts when you heard that a spur of the Cultural Trail was coming right in front of your front door?
No, I actually, that's part of the reason I moved here. There at the time, there was just this green strip of paint down the sidewalk indicating where the Cultural Trail would eventually be. And so when I was looking for a spot on Mass Ave, I thought, how perfect. I can be next to wonderful places like our bistro and be able to open up a little shop.
Sure.
And kind of just be part of this new end where the Cultural Trail was going to be right across the street. So, and now we've got these, not only us and Black Markets here, and Indie Reads Books is here, and Crimson Tate and White Dog, and it just goes on, and Yats is moving down here, and so it's just, you know, the cultural trail certainly spurs action and business and momentum.
Sure. Thanks for being a business pioneer, too, because you're being modest, but some of why those other businesses have come in and gotten established was they saw your success.
Well, that's nice to say. They all partner well with us. It's really been great.
What is Cultural Trail Mix?
So, with the Cultural Trail coming, I want to be involved somehow and be involved with the community and with CICF and with the Cultural Trail. And so I had one of those shower moments where I came up with Cultural Trail Mix. And so
don't
I thought
you love
be,
that. You know, you try not to take your work home with you, but some part of your brain is always working on
always.
How do I make it better?
Exactly. And so I came up with a cultural trail mix and approached CICF about it. And they said, that's great. We'll come up with this label. And then a dollar from every bag goes back to the maintenance endowment fund, because now that the trail's here, we need to maintain it and keep it up and deal with any repairs. And so there is a fund for that. And that's what the trail mix money goes back to.
Now, I suspect part of the recipe is secret, but can you tell us some of the ingredients?
Oh, yeah. There's great stuff in there. There are cashews and almonds and little pretzel sticks that we dip in white chocolate and put them in there. And then dark chocolate covered soy nuts. And we drizzle all of it with dark chocolate and cereal, like Chex Mix and rice and wheat Chex and corn Chex and rice Chex.
And where's the bag you brought us to sample on the air, please? The store is closed, fortunately. So there's the chocolate gives you antioxidants, and the nuts give you protein for energy.
Exactly.
So it actually helps replenish your body as you enjoy the trail. And beyond the best chocolate in town, where can people purchase Cultural Trail Mix?
Right now that it's used for some amenities at in a few places and hotels, and then also White River State Park at their gift shop. When you follow the trail down and around and spend time there, you can go in there and get our cultural trail mix there.
Fantastic. Yeah. How do you know that people are have been on the trail before they come in your door? Is it pretty obvious because they've got their bike helmet on?
Yeah, they've got their bike helmets on. They're walking. We can, you know, and we get to, out through our front windows, we get to watch people go by all day long and walking and jogging and with their strollers or with their fun bikes or the dude with the bulldog on the skateboard. And
What is that about? Have you ever talked?
I've seen him.
Yeah, me too. I'm not
it's
quite
really
sure
fun.
What the explanation of that is. It's
entertainment is what that is. So lots of dog walking.
Every city should have its characters.
True.
Have you met the miniature horse yet?
I briefly walked by. We haven't been formally introduced, but really
he's
cute.
He's very handsome.
There's two of them.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sharon.
Travis.
I just met Darby.
Which
Darby's one? Darby's the one, the little horse that just walked by.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good.
Very handsome.
They
very
are
handsome.
Very handsome.
Yeah. I didn't get the one with the sort of wild hair. I didn't get a chance to meet yet.
We are speaking of the miniature horse, not a person. Well, Elizabeth, I know you have lots of extra business in your store today because partly because people are stopping in to get out of the cold wind, but partly because they want to come in.
Yes. What? And Mother's Day.
And Mother's Day. That. Oh, how.
Come
Please
get your books
don't.
And
Mother's
chocolate
Day is
for
still
Mother's
tomorrow,
Day.
Right?
Mother's
it's
Day is still tomorrow.
Tomorrow
and
so you can walk by, pick up books for your mom, get some chocolate for your mom,
get some chocolate
get a
for
gift
yourself.
Certificate from our Bistro or Black Market for your mom. I mean, really.
It
doesn't get any easier than that. Right
the
along
East
the cultural
shops.
Trail.
I'm just saying. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. Go back in the warm shop and sell people chocolate for their moms.
Alrighty. Cultural Trail Mix.
And by the way, if you're a mother only to, say, cats or dogs or fish or miniature horses, you can treat yourself to chocolate. You don't have to have a two-legged child
Certainly.
To celebrate
City
Mother's
Dogs.
Day.
City Dogs is right next door
That's
to us.
Right.
So you can pick
That's
up
right.
a sweet treat there and then get some chocolate for yourself.
Fantastic. Well done.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks so much.
Well, Sharon, there is so much going on the trail today. This has been just a lot of fun. The next person we have joining us is from Heartland Film Festival. We've got Tim Irwin, who's going to be joining us here in just a minute. And, in fact, when we were just chatting with Brian Payne a few moments ago, he was saying how excited he was that different not-for-profits have decided to locate their headquarters on the trail, like Indie Reads Books, as well as the 500 Festival, and also Heartland Film Festival. So, Tim, welcome to our live broadcast of Art of the Matter.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So tell me, of course, a lot of people know about the Great Heartland Film Festival, celebrating wonderful. What's the phrase? I mean, I want to say good feeling films.
It's inspiring films. It's educational films. It's stuff that does more than just entertain. You're thinking about it the next day. It had an impact on you.
There you go. And of course, the film festival takes place in October every year, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But tell me a little bit about just the decision to move Heartland's headquarters to the Cultural Trail down in the Fountain Square area.
Yeah, so we moved our office in, it ended up being September of 2011, right before the festival, and the Cultural Trail actually wasn't done yet. So they were finishing our office out as they were finishing the Cultural Trail. So we got to experience the beginnings of it, the dust from the tiles that they
sure,
cut.
The construction.
And then, yeah, so they finished our office, and it's awesome, and then they finished the trail, and it's just incredible to be right on it. It's pretty amazing down in Fountain Square.
And it was a conscious decision for you guys to say, you know, we want to be on the trail.
It was, very much, and Fountain Square as well, and just being able to connect to the rest of the city through the Cultural Trail was just, you know, made it that much more awesome. Fountain Square is an amazing place. There's new stuff moving in all the time. I think there's a brand new organic frozen yogurt place that just moved in.
I saw. I drove by the other day and saw that.
It's fantastic. Cool. Yeah. So there's always cool stuff going on.
Now, you guys, in addition to having your headquarters for Heartland down on the trail in Fountain Square, you're also now able to show movies, and it's going to be a part of the film festival in the fall, but you're even doing stuff today. What do you guys have going on today?
So right now, from started at 10 a.m. this morning till about 2 this afternoon, we're going to be showing some short films in our office. We have a screening room that can fit a whole bunch of people. We do stuff every first Friday just as part of the arts community there.
Nice.
So today we're opening it up. We have popcorn and soda for sale and have some short films that are showing as people come in. And then tonight we're actually partnering just a little bit up the road from us on the trail at the Fletcher Place neighborhoods. We were going to do some outside screenings, but the weather's just a little bit windy for our giant screen, I think.
Yeah.
We're moving it inside.
You don't want to make that into a sale, right?
You don't want to make it into a sale. Our director of operations was a little worried about that. So we're moving inside of the Fletcher Place, the book and arts space, which is a gallery space right across from Calvin Fletcher Coffee Shop.
Very cool. Yeah. So now tell me a bit about the Heartland Festival this year, because I know you guys just released the locations for where it's going to be. Again, it's in October, and actually your space is going to be one of the locations, right?
Well, pretty near our space. So we've been doing First Fridays in our space, showing short films for like a year and a half now, and it's just been great, the reception from the community in Fountain Square. So we thought, well, why make all those people trek up to the north side where we have our theater locations. Let's have some screenings in Fountain Square. So we looked around for a suitable venue, and we're actually going to be at the Wheeler Arts Community Building.
Nice.
So they have an awesome space there with some apartments and some studio space, some gallery space. And then they have a great theater that we're going to deck out, be able to show some films. I think the Wednesday through Saturday, so that would be kind of the last 4 days of the festival, we're going to do two screenings a night down there. It'll be the first time for us, and we're really excited about it.
That's excellent. So what is the process for you guys right now in terms of are you screening tons of films and getting – I mean, I know the festival isn't until October, but there's a lot of work to get ready for, right?
Good question. This is kind of my crazy time as artistic director, because we have about 700 films that have already been submitted to us.
Wow.
We started the screening process about 1 or 2 weeks ago. It'll go for another 2 months. We'll probably end up with, I'll guess, 1,500 submissions total. We have to whittle that down to the 100 or so films that we're going to show in October, and we won't know that until probably August. We'll whittle it all down, and then we'll have our guidebook available probably the third week of September so that people know what to expect in October.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. 700, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're about a month ahead of last year's pace. So
excellent.
By the end of submissions at the end of June, yeah, 14, 15, maybe 1,600 might scare the interns a little bit because they have a lot of work to do, too.
That's awesome. So let me ask you before we let you go, Tim, what do you got planned for doing, or how are you going to get down on the trail today?
Well, I've been here with you guys. I love Indie Reads Books. It's really cool that
Thanks.
You guys are right here. As I said, I was at the office earlier this morning. I'll be back down at Fletcher Place neighborhood for some shorts this afternoon, probably start about 8:30 or so, initially when the sun was going to set, and now it doesn't really matter quite as much, but a little bit later this evening. So that's kind of what I got planned, and then whatever else I happen to see as I'm driving around and walking around in between places.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Well, there's so much going on today, and Sharon and I are going to talk about that in just a minute and let you all know what's going on, but let me just remind you that support for the live broadcast of the Art of the Matter on the Cultural Trail is made possible by Katz & Corin PC, a law firm dedicated to supporting cultural events and opportunities in the city, with offices near the Cultural Trail at 334 North Senate Avenue in downtown Indianapolis. Tim Irwin, thank you so much for coming in and coming by to say hi to us today with Art of the Matter Live on the Cultural Trail, and best of luck with Heartland. And so much going on today. A lot of cool events. One event that I wanted to mention that I'm really excited about is down at the Rhythm Discovery Center. And they've got free admission today to the Rhythm Discovery Center, which is located right on the trail. It's sort of right underneath where the Weber Grill is and the Arts Garden. And they're just opening up a new exhibit there called the Levy Exhibit, which we're going to talk about on Art of the Matter in about a week or so.
Right.
But the exhibit is of the Levy Drum Company, which was the largest manufacturer of drums during from about 1895 until about 1920 here in Indianapolis. And it's a really cool exhibit they've just opened at the Rhythm Discovery Center. You can check that out. Plus, you get free admission today to the Rhythm Discovery Center. It's a great place to take your kids, especially if you want to get warmed up. And they've got tons of cool drums you can bang on and play on. And it's just one of my, it's a fun place to grow. Go.
Absolutely.
It's a very cool place. And a lot of people don't always realize it's there because it's kind of tucked downstairs and stuff. But it's one of the great jewels of Indianapolis that I know Chris Gall loves to talk about.
You are the king of segues. I was wondering how you're going to fit miniature horses in there with percussion and Chris.
I'm glad you didn't.
So, Chris, from the perspective of Visit Indy, how has this project been received, the Cultural Trail? What do you hear from people, either coming into town or other folks in other cities?
Well, thanks for having me on, Sharon and Travis. With pleasure. It, you got to come out and get down on it.
You got to get
exactly.
down on it, right?
Are you going to sing for us?
Not yet.
Okay.
I would tell you that from a city perspective, Visit Indy's job is to drive tourism, book conventions, have folks get off their couches from Chicago and St. Louis and regionally and come. And we generate nearly $4 billion in economic impact annually because of tourism. And I can tell you wholeheartedly that the Cultural Trail has helped us in the last 3 to 4 years drive tourism. And that's because meeting planners are already seeing arguably the most walkable city in the United States pre-trail, and now post-trail, it glides by the convention center.
Isn't
it connects all of our hotels.
That we've overcome our "the car owns this city"
yes.
reputation to it, do that? It,
absolutely.
Amazing.
And the perception of Indianapolis as not only a sports-minded city, but a cultural city is growing. And so from that regard, it's really helped us position the city as a vibrant place to come and visit. And this summer, we're actually also featuring the trail in all of our paid advertising that we'll run within the region. And so we know that it's a trip motivator, that if you can say you can, most trails take you to the oceanside or to the mountainside, and this is an urban trail.
Yeah.
And visitors, it's resonating with visitors and therefore generating more economic impact.
So when meeting planners call you, how what questions do they have when they hear that we have this urban trail?
Well, the first question is, how can our delegates use it? And we say, well, hotels are offering bikes. So if you're at the Conrad or the Alexander and you're spending the night, you can have a bike rental program and glide out on the trail. And
wow.
So it's
great.
Really, to a meeting planner, saving time in a city means more vibrancy, more time to network, et cetera. And so now they can easily walk out of their hotel, take the trail, and get anywhere in the city. And so, again, it's a distinguishing, very authentically grown part of our city that's really making a difference.
Chris, I heard yesterday that the mayor said that Indianapolis was on a list of one of the top 7 cities to see by bike.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I mean, that's got to be a great selling point for Visit Indy.
Yeah, we've had numerous accolades, and we've been able to draw in tons of national media to cover Indianapolis, to talk about the city, and go produce content because of the trail. And I can't tell you how many times Brian Payne on either a Segway or his push bike or by foot has helped sell the city via the Cultural Trail. And so we've received, as the trail has, the city has received accolades like one of the best top 10 places to see from the seat of a bike, Indianapolis. And so it's positioning us as a great city.
What are some of the oh wow moments when you get, I know you work with travel writers a lot, and what are some of the oh wow moments when you take them around and show them the trail?
That we've been able to replace a lane of vehicular traffic. Here's the 12th largest city in the United States, and that how in the world were you able to do that? And the fact that the caliber of public art, I know a lot of people say,
really?
Oh, it's just not, murals, et cetera. When you have something like Anne Dancing, one of my aspirations is, Chicago has the Bean.
Yeah,
and everyone
yeah.
wants to take their picture of the Bean.
Right.
For what reason,
right.
I don't know. we need the Bean, and we have Monument Circle. But I firmly believe with the trail opening, maybe Ann Dancing will be our
become
Bean.
Our Bean.
What do you think?
Or, you know, well, you know what? Somebody in Chicago is going to say, man, I wish our Bean could be our Ann Dancing.
Yes, exactly.
I love the
How's
way
that?
You
Let's
think.
Start that, you, that you, campaign.
You know, the tradition that has started, I'll admit I started this, but when you walk by Ann Dancing, you stop and dance with her.
Absolutely.
It totally flips people passing by out. But then lots of times people will start doing it too. So, I should ask you to describe, for anybody who has not had the pleasure of seeing Ann Dancing, describe Ann Dancing.
Well, she's sensually swaying, but it's very it's very hospitable. And
it's very inviting.
It catches your eye, and it says, wow, this is a city who cares about public art. This is a city who has thought about the placement of the trail and the elements of it. And so, again, I can't underscore, when the Project for Public Spaces says, let's canvas the globe and pick projects that other cities should attempt to emulate, and they pick little old Naptown, Indianapolis, in the cultural trail as one of those projects, a brave new bold step, that's helped us sell the city. There's 75,000 people who depend on tourism for a paycheck, and inevitably this cultural trail will continue to drive tourism and create new jobs because things are opening on the trail.
Absolutely.
That tourism needs, like restaurants, like hotels, the Alexander, et cetera. So
Or bookstores,
or chocolate shops. Yeah.
And for the record, Travis, I collect coffee table books, and I've just left a few dollars inside here for this beautiful coffee table
Chris.
Book. So
Excellent. Odyssey, the Art of Photography. It's a National Geographic.
Nice. Yeah. So it's benefited so many people in so many different places. And what's interesting from a pseudo city perspective is that from the Peterson to the Ballard administration, it didn't get dropped.
I know. Yep. That is just astonishing. I picture
Absolutely
people
bipartisan.
In graduate school doing papers about how did that happen, because the administrations are rather different from one another.
Absolutely.
And yet they both saw the importance
of it.
And yet they
both bought into the importance. Yeah. Right, right.
Well, that's a real testament to Brian Payne's vision, too, I think.
It absolutely is.
You know, it was interesting, actually, yesterday during the ribbon cutting, that a number of people mentioned, you know, how, you know, this was not a Democrat or Republican thing. It was everyone coming together.
I have one bit of frustration. It often happens, and it's that if this were to happen, Indianapolis has come a long way from India, no place in Naptown. And we've gained certainly post-Super Bowl and well past that from an artistic, cultural perspective. But if this was happening in New York, you know, there would be this flood of international media, and we've gotten a lot of good coverage and a lot of eyes and ears on Indianapolis for this trail, but we wanted that to continue, and so we're really going to be pushing from Visit Indy's perspective to tell the story of Indianapolis through the eyes of the cultural
trail.
It
may be a little harder to get that message out there, but thank you for everything you do. Chris Gall from Visit Indy. We're all used to the new name now.
Thank you, Sharon and Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're going to do a little person on the street here. Jennifer Vigren from Second Helpings just walked by. And Jennifer, what are you doing on the trail today?
Hey, what a great day to celebrate the trail and celebrate everything that CICF and the Glick family and all of the wonderful partners who make up the trail and have made this a great success for neighborhoods in our community. Really glad to be here.
Are you having fun?
You
came by the bookstore, are you checking out some of the other events?
Yeah, I've been by the bookstore. I've been down to City Market, and we've been really enjoying all the wonderful things that are happening. My son's about to get on a bike and go travel the entire trail and really enjoy the day.
Excellent. Well, Jennifer, thanks for swinging by, and great work, of course, that you do with Second Helpings, with job training and food rescue and feeding the hungry. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me with you.
You
have
bet.
A great day. Bye-bye.
You bet. Enjoy the trail. Get down on it.
Get
hey,
down on it.
You know, we've been talking about these miniature horses.
Yes.
And we need to talk with someone from Agape, which is the great organization that brought the horses, not ponies, the horses, down here with us. And so who do we have from Agape?
Program coordinator.
I'm sorry, tell us your name again.
Deb Usher.
Deb, thank you so much for being on our Art of the Matter live broadcast, but especially for bringing, now I met Darby. And
I met Rosie,
the
so-called wild hair one.
Well, she is a little wild hair. Tell us about these horses. They're just beautiful.
These are wonderful horses. We have six of these miniature horses at Agape, and they work almost every day. They have a job to do working with students from schools in the area, IPS. They are doing things like this today. There's two other miniature horses at a walk for spina bifida today out at Fort Harrison. They are little ambassadors. They go to nursing homes, schools. They teach an after-school program called Stirrup Success.
Oh, neat. So, I mean, they're therapy.
They are therapy
animals.
Friendly.
Hey, a big horse, not a little, not, I wouldn't say not, I started to say real, because they're all real horses, but now we've got one big horse that just showed up with the miniature horses.
Beautiful.
Yeah. They all seem to get along okay,
they
right?
Do.
Brown
they do.
And white, full-size.
Our miniature horses live with a herd of 14 full-size horses at Agape, who also
so
provide therapy.
About Agape. I mean, it's basically using horses in therapy. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the idea.
Right. We are a year-round program that's been in business since 1986. We are located in Cicero, Indiana, and we do therapeutic horseback riding, driving, and all sorts of new things that are in our works at the moment. We provide a year-round program for about 100 people a week at least, and we have therapeutic riding and, again, a driving instructor. We have a carriage, so if someone can't be mounted on a horse, mm-hmm. they can ride in our carriage. And what else can I tell you about?
Well, you told me something interesting a minute ago. The small ones, the miniature horses, are not ridden. Their backs are not strong enough to be ridden, but they were bred for what now?
They were bred for pulling carts in mines.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So two of these, Darby actually, can pull a carriage. So he is trained to pull a carriage and can pull a person behind him.
Ah.
Their backs are pretty strong. They're very strong. They can pull about twice their weight. With their muscles, but they're not very good for riding.
We can physically see, but we're on the radio here, so I want you to sort of help describe for us the difference in size between a regular size horse and a miniature horse.
Miniature horses are between about 14 inches tall and I think about 25 inches is the highest for miniature horses.
These are at the upper end of that.
Yeah. They're about medium size miniature horses. Yes, full size horses go from 13 hands, which is 4 inches, mm-hmm. and above.
Okay. So. Yeah, these are more the size of a kind of a large dog, if you will.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than that. Yeah.
But
they're not ponies.
They're not ponies.
Ponies are a little bit different as well.
What makes the difference? But Sharon and I were trying to figure this out earlier, the difference between a pony and a horse.
A pony is a smaller horse, so it'd be a horse under 13 hands.
Okay.
Well,
I am
course.
Not an
there
expert.
We go.
And Rosie's about 22 years old.
Rosie's in her mid 20s.
And how about Darby?
Darby's in his, I think he's late teens.
They seem just so friendly, and of course all the kids are just loving them today and getting a chance to pet them. They've got beautiful
Darby's
eyelashes
coming over. I think he wants to say something on the radio.
Darby. Well, our engineer told us we could not put the headphones on the horses, so I'm going to listen to that, but they're just great. They're so great to have. Oh, Darby's eating some of the grass in front of our booth here, which is excellent. So, well, thank you so much bringing the horses here today, and it's great to have Agape be a part of the festival. Activities for Get Down On It.
Thank you for having us. We're glad to be here today.
Enjoy the day.
Thank you.
Hey, if you've just tuned in and you've said, wait, what? When did WFYI add a show about miniature horses? Well, we haven't. Don't worry. You're actually listening to a live broadcast by The Art of the Matter at an unusual time of day, midday on Saturday. Why are we here? Because we're helping to celebrate Get Down On It, the grand opening of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. Scores of activities going on all the way through the evening. You know, once you get on a bike or start walking the trail, you will warm up. Don't worry about it. And our broadcast is supported by Katz & Corin PC, a law firm dedicated to supporting cultural events and opportunities in the city, with offices near the Cultural Trail at 334 North Senate Avenue in downtown Indianapolis.
That's right. And you know what? We just happen to have Ronnie Katz from Katz & Corin.
It's magic.
Here, and I'm so glad, Ronnie. Welcome to Art of the Matter.
It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for your support of this live broadcast. It's been absolutely awesome and terrific. And Katz & Corin has been a great supporter of WFYI, but especially today, it means a lot to us, so thank you for that.
Well, Art of the Matter has been a great mouthpiece for promoting our cultural events here in the city, so thank you.
You are welcome. And in fact, that's the main reason I wanted to make sure that you got a chance to come on, because of your involvement with Indie Fringe. And Indie Fringe is just down the street here from us at Indie Reads Books, and they're, of course, doing a lot of stuff today with the Cultural Trail. But you've been involved with Indie Fringe for quite a while, and it's a great organization.
It's a fabulous organization, and we're very excited about, I think it's considered, the Northeast Quadrant of the Cultural Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very excited not only about where we are, but what we're going to see here in the hopefully not too distant future in terms of the improvements you're going to see along the trail, which will be some exciting additions to the Indy Fringe Theater as well as the Trailhead, and it'll be it's very exciting. We're still working on that, yep. And we're still raising funds for that.
Tell me a little bit about the plans, because the Fringe building has gone under some renovation, which has been great. There's been sort of an alley that's been put in, but there's a lot more to do. And for people who don't know, the Fringe building is sort of right just off of that intersection of Mass Ave and College. But it's actually, the address is...
I think it's 719 East St. Clair.
East St. Clair, yeah.
Right off the, where those three streets converge.
Right, so stone's throw from here at Indy Reads Books, but it's a great space, and that's where really the Fringe does theater all year long, yep. Now, and not just during the Fringe Festival in August. But right. Tell me about the future plans there.
Well, the future plans include a trailhead there, which is actually going to be the only, I think, the only location on the cultural trail where you'll have public restrooms.
That'll be very popular.
Because we've been crossing our legs all day.
Thank goodness it's radio.
Oh my goodness! Yes, this one isn't on television.
We didn't promise you we'd be dignified, Ronnie.
There we go. Oh my gosh! So in any event, but we're going to have the green space there, which is really quite innovative. Where you see the new trees and the whole mechanism for how rainwater is drained on the property is one of the most innovative plans we've seen here in terms of improvements. You have not only the renovation of the alley, but you're going to have an addition to the theater that will provide rehearsal space as well as outdoor performance space. And most importantly, we will have an elevator. Being the old building that it is.
Yeah. Old former church building, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get our patrons with disabilities into the theater.
Sure.
Otherwise. So we're very excited about our future plans, and we welcome all of the support. You know, it's interesting. We're sitting out here outside of Indy Reads, and I think back 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was Indy Reads? Where was Indy Reads? And where was Indy Fringe in this city? They were, it's amazing what...
Where was the trail?
Yeah, and where was the trail?
A twinkle in someone's eye.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's very exciting what's happening here in the city. We
the growth is taking place.
A treasure.
We really do. No, this is such an exciting day because it brings together so many great organizations in so many years of planning, and certainly Fringe, Indy Reads Books has all been a part of that. FYI has been a great supporter of that.
No question.
And, it's just been a really enjoyable day, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you just came from your son's graduation, right?
My son Benji just graduated from medical school.
Congratulations!
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Please tell
me
you've raised him to be as supportive of arts and culture as you are.
He's amazing. Yes,
fantastic.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
Very proud of him.
Well,
fantastic.
It's a big day for all of us, but it's definitely a big day for the Katz family.
Yes.
So
thank you.
Congratulations on that. And again, best of luck with all you're doing with Indy Fringe. And thank you so much again for Katz and Corin's support of our live broadcast today of Art of the Matter.
We're thrilled to be a part of it. We really can't say enough about the movement in terms of enhancing the arts in this city. So,
terrific.
Travis, thanks for all you do. Sharon, you too. Thank you.
Well, go celebrate your son's graduation.
We'll
see you on the trail.
Thank you.
Well, Sharon, we are getting ready to wrap it up here. It's been quite an eventful hour.
It really has. I mean, miniature horses, leaders in arts and culture, people on the street. What a great, great day. And if you're thinking, oh, it's too cold, I'd rather just stay inside and listen to my radio. Well, we love it when you listen to WFYI, but why don't you go ahead and take your portable radio out, get on your bicycle, and hop downtown to the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. There are so many things going on. Speaking of bikes, I want to point out, they're not all just strictly entertaining. There are bike safety sessions, so if you have a
all right,
little
IndyCog
one who's just,
is doing
just
some
learning
work,
how to ride, or mm-hmm. a grown-up for that matter.
There's a lot. In fact,
there
the events are going on.
There are food trucks and a beer
the...
garden at Old National Center. You might not want to ride after you go to the beer garden.
Well, there's a lot of great stuff, in fact, going on throughout the entire day. all on the trail, in fact, into the evening, and a lot of it does take place inside as well, which is a very cool thing. There's bocce ball down in Fletcher Place. How fun is that going to be? And what is this knit bomb on Virginia, Sharon?
Okay, knit, why do you ask the girl?
Because you're a knitter.
I am a knitter. Knit bombing is where knitters or crocheters essentially turn their needlework into public art. So you might have noticed outside the Mass Ave Starbucks for a long time, the bicycle racks had knitted sleeves on them, kind of like leg warmers for bicycle racks, because, you know, who knew bicycle racks got cold?
Right, sure.
So that's what knit bombing is. So you might want to bring your needles on down, or your hooks.
Hey, you know, we were just talking about Indie Fridge. I do want to mention that tonight from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., they're doing a Sideshow Alley show with music and performances and strolling minstrels and fortune tellers and improv and magic and the human oddities, all going in the 700 block of Mass Ave that's part of the Fringe as well. So that'll be a very fun thing tonight, later tonight on the Avenue.
Indeed. And not far from where we are right now, there's a music celebration at the Art Bank lot, which is at the intersection of Mass Ave and College Ave. And
DJ Kyle Long's going to be down
Kyle
there.
DJ Kyle Long and Kazel Mawat with a celebration of Afrobeat, Brazilian, Bollywood, and Caribbean music and culture. So if you're a little cold, you can go down there and
get down on it, right?
Really get down. You know, we've gotten through an almost the entire hour without anyone singing that to us. Well, is there someone nearby who would like to sing to us? Roxana Caldwell, our fabulous radio station manager. She's shaking her head no.
We need to thank Rox. We also need to thank Jeanette for being our fabulous engineer today for this great broadcast. 1 hour of Art of the Matter Live. Of course, Art of the Matter can be heard normally on WFYI each Thursday evening at 8 p.m. as well as Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. and also our television version of Art of the Matter, which is on 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights and 6:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
It can
so later
be heard
tonight,
normally,
right?
But we're not normal.
We're
don't
not
worry.
Normal at all.
By the way, you're listening to WFYI 90.1 FM and HD1 Indianapolis, and from the campuses of Franklin and Wabash Colleges, WFCI 89.5 FM Franklin and WNDY 91.3 FM Crawfordsville. Thank you so much for listening and for living, and we'll see you on the trail.